So if you're a hospital leader, an executive, or a director, the regulatory climate right now is, well, it's more of a minefield than a labyrinth.
It really is.
We're dealing with this just unprecedented stack of federal requirements. You've got HIPAA, the Cures Act, and now this newly aggressive enforcement from the DOJ.
The sheer volume of it can be paralyzing.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to cut through all that, the organizational paperwork and really focus on the personal liability. We're going to drill down on the civil and the criminal penalties, including, and this is the key part, potential imprisonment that faces the highest levels of leadership.
So the CEO, the CTO, and the board of directors.
Exactly. When these compliance failures happen.
And we are not talking about, simple administrative slaps on the wrist here.
Yep.
The sources we synthesize present a core, a very sobering reality for hospital governance.
Which is.
The cumulative liability, it's not just staggering, it carries the existential risk of organizational closure.
Wow. How does that happen?
It happens primarily through mandated exclusion from federal programs like Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
I mean, think about it. If you lose access to 40, maybe 60% of your revenue overnight,
Yeah.
the organization is effectively finished.
It's death sentence.
It is. And this leads us right to the most critical warning we found in all the source material. This is one that, frankly, it has to change your entire compliance strategy.
Okay.
HIPAA compliance provides zero protection against Cures Act enforcement actions.
Zero.
Zero. These regulations operate independently. They're enforced by different government bodies, HHS versus CMS, and their penalties just stack up.
So you could be fully HIPAA compliant on the security side.
And still face millions in fines and even criminal charges for information blocking under the Cures Act.
And here's the legal mechanism that makes this personal and, well, honestly, it feels unprecedented in modern healthcare. The responsible corporate officer doctrine.
The RCO doctrine? Yeah.
It's a chilling concept because it allows for the criminal prosecution of executives, specifically the CEO, even if they had no direct personal knowledge of the violation.
Exactly. What the sources clearly establish is that ignorance is not a defense, not when you hold that position of responsibility.
The RCO doctrine holds that just having the position, that ultimate authority, it imposes a strict liability to prevent and correct violations.
Right. It shifts the entire focus from intent or what you knew to just pure accountability.
It's like the ghost in the machine for the executive suite.
That's a good way to put it. It's not what you knew, it's what you should have prevented.
All right, let's move directly to the CEO then, the person who carries that ultimate burden. The source material paints a picture of just, I mean, massive exposure. It's layer upon layer of financial risk. Can you walk us through the specific civil and financial liabilities that attach directly to the chief executive?
The financial stakes are definitely layered. So let's start with HIPAA and 8-Tech. Personal liability attaches specifically at Tier 4. That's known as willful neglect uncorrected.
And what does that mean in practice?
Well, think about ignoring an audit finding or a risk assessment report for, say, more than 18 months without taking corrective action. The CEO is ultimately responsible for that inaction.
And the fine for that.
The minimum fine is $71,162 per violation, and that can go up to an annual cap of over $2.1 million.
And that's just the baseline.
That's the baseline.
Yeah.
When we move to the Cures Act, the numbers become truly crushing.
So how does the Cures Act change that financial landscape compared to, the traditional HIPAA fines we're used to hearing about?
Well, the Cures Act isn't just designed to punish. It's designed to strategically disadvantage non-compliant organizations.
Thought so.
The civil penalty for information blocking is up to $1 million per violation at the discretion of CMS. But the real sting, the existential risk we talked about, that comes from the revenue penalties. A single audit finding of information blocking can trigger a Medicare reimbursement reduction of up to 25% of the organization's total Medicare revenue.
25%.
And critically, this compounds annually. This is not a one-time fine you can budget for.
No, that's a permanent structural reduction in your operating capital.
It's designed to create a permanent competitive disadvantage by choking off your cash flow.
Which immediately hits your bond rating, investment, capital projects, everything.
Everything.
And this doesn't even touch on the False Claims Act risk.
Precisely. The False Claims Act is where the organizational risk just skyrockets. Penalties there are between $11,000 and almost $28,000 per claim.
Per claim.
Per claim. Plus treble damages. So 3 times the cost of the damages. This is the mechanism that can trigger that facility closure risk we talked about.
Okay. And finally, there's the heavy hitter that crosses into national security, the DOJ Data Security Program, or DSP.
Right.
What's the exposure here? And why is healthcare data even subject to national security rules?
The DOJ DSP is enforced under IEPA, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Which usually deals with sanctions and trade restrictions.
Exactly. The reason it applies to healthcare executives is when data transfers or a security failure enables a transfer that involves sanctioned entities or nations.
So like a ransomware payment to a hostile foreign actor.
Or a data transfer to a vendor located in a sanctioned country. Yes. The civil penalty here is immense. It's $368,136, or 2 times the value of the transaction.
And the worst part?
No statutory cap. And since the CEO is considered a U.S. person with ultimate authority, the source material says they are directly on the hook for this personal financial liability.
Which brings us to the most concerning part of the sources, the criminal liability. Prison time. What's the spectrum of criminal exposure for a CEO?
It ranges from severe to devastating. At the high end for those DOJ, DSP, willful violations.
Meaning gross negligence that helps a national security data transfer.
Yes. The penalty is up to 20 years imprisonment and a $1 million fine.
20 years. That's effectively a life sentence for most executives.
It is. And even without the national security angle, if violations under HIPAA or the Cures Act involve malicious intent or commercial gain.
Like selling patient data.
Deliberately monetizing it, yes. The penalty there rises to up to 10 years imprisonment and a $250,000 fine.
So if the RCO doctrine says ignorance isn't a defense, what is the CEO's defense? Can they really go to jail if their CISO hides a server farm from them?
That is the crucial question. The source material is very clear. Delegating compliance is necessary, but it is not adequate protection.
So you can't just pass the buck.
You can't. The defense against the RCO doctrine isn't just delegation. It's demanding and documenting verifiable assurance. The CEO has to prove they instituted reasonable measures, followed up on red flags, and enforced correction. It's about robust governance and oversight.
Excellent. Now let's follow that chain of command down to the chief technology officer, the CTO. This is the control person who owns the technical architecture.
Right. The risk is just as high, but it flows from very specific technical decisions.
So what are some of those specific technical failures that create control person liability for the CTO?
Well, the CTO is the steward of the technical safeguards under the HIPAA security rule. So failure to correctly implement encryption, robust access controls, or full audit logging directly exposes the organization to that $2.1 million annual cap.
These are operational choices with immediate legal consequences.
Immediate. But the liability extends far beyond basic HIPAA. We have specialized requirements like medical device cybersecurity, which is now enforced under Section 524B. The sources highlight that penalties here can reach $1 million per enforcement proceeding.
$1 million? For what kind of failures on devices?
We're talking about core security hygiene. Things like device network architecture failure, Espion management failure, software bill of materials. It means being able to prove through tracking and inventory where every single component of the software on a medical device came from.
And patch management failure.
Yes. Specifically, failure to meet those 30-day or 60-day response windows for patching critical vulnerabilities. That's a direct trigger for that $1 million civil penalty.
And the Cures Act must be a technical nightmare for the CTO. It's all about data flow.
It absolutely is. The Cures Act is about preventing information blocking, and the CTO's systems are the gatekeepers.
So the $1 million per violation penalty gets triggered by
technical configuration failures, EHR configurations that literally block data release, API noncompliance, so failing to correctly implement the required FHIR APIs, and unnecessary delays. Like batching data updates daily instead of providing real-time access.
Right.
The CTO's implementation choices directly determine vulnerability here.
And we also have to loop in CLIA, the Clinical Laboratory Improvement Amendments, because the lab director and CTO share operational oversight there.
That's right. CLIA is enforced by CMS and covers all lab testing.
Mm-hmm.
Technical and operational risks, like quality control failures, can lead to fines up to $10,000 a day if they create an immediate jeopardy risk.
And worse.
Worse is proficiency testing failures. especially if samples are intentionally sent out to other labs to hide internal problems. That can result in certificate revocation, a minimum one-year ban on doing any testing.
Complete revenue loss for the lab.
And the CTO shares liability for the systems that manage that data.
So given this level of technical control, does the CTO face criminal exposure that's comparable to the CEO?
They absolutely do, because the CTO is the control person over the systems that enabled the failure. Their criminal path mirrors the CEO's highest exposure points.
This is that willful violation of the DOJ's security program.
Gross negligence in cybersecurity can easily be framed by the DOJ as a willful violation, leading right back to that chilling million-dollar fine and up to 20 years in prison.
Why no?
The technical decisions are literally career and freedom-defining risks.
So if we sum it all up for the CTO, you're talking civil penalties that could reach $50 million plus per incident, criminal fines up to $1 million, and 20 years in prison.
That's the potential exposure, yes.
It makes you wonder, can the CTO's personal liability sometimes exceed the CEO's just because of how technical and specific the Curie Act penalties are?
It's a great question, and based on the source materials, yes. While the CEO has the RCO doctrine for overall failure, the CTO is liable for very specific technical noncompliance, a failure in an API implementation that's purely technical.
And can trigger $1 million penalty.
$1 million penalty. If that one technical failure is repeated across multiple systems, the CTO's specific liability for those details can become immense. It could dwarf a general oversight failure.
Okay, let's move to the board of directors. Their liability is different. It's less about daily errors and more about institutional and fiduciary oversight failure.
That's right.
When a major compliance disaster hits, what are the massive financial exposures the board is responsible for overseeing?
The board has to be concerned with what we could call existential governance failure. Their job is to protect the organization's continuity.
And the threat of program exclusion.
Medicare, Medicaid, CLIA certificate revocation. That creates an organizational death spiral. That 40 to 60% revenue loss puts the organization at high risk of facility closure, and the board is personally liable for allowing that to happen.
And beyond the government penalties, they also manage the exposure to massive private settlements, right?
Exactly. You can look at real-world examples like Anthem's $115 million class action settlement for a breach as a measure of the director liability risk.
And when a violation is found, the government often imposes a corporate integrity agreement.
The dreaded CIA, yes. It's a long-term intensive governance burden. The sources estimate they cost between $2 and $20 million to implement over 3 to 5 years.
So when does that massive organizational expense become personal for a director?
The personal liability attaches when the directors fail in their fundamental duty of oversight.
So a breach of fiduciary duty.
Right. A failure to ensure adequate documented compliance programs. And also shareholder derivative suits, where major violations cause financial harm and board members are held personally liable for the fallout.
This sounds like exactly what directors and officers or D&O insurance is for. Is that enough to protect them?
You'd think so. But what's fascinating here is the crucial finding about insurance coverage. The sources confirm that D&O insurance, which executives rely on, has massive critical holes.
Really?
The consensus is that 95% of malpractice carriers will not cover government fines because of public policy exclusions. And what's more, intentional torts like invasion of privacy claims from Cures Act violations, they're explicitly excluded.
So for the most severe failures, the ones with multi-million dollar government fines,
the risk is direct out-of-pocket exposure for the organization. The insurance simply isn't there to mitigate the penalty itself.
And what about the ecosystem? If one vendor in the data sharing chain fails, does that expose the directors of all the connected hospitals?
Absolutely. This is the domino effect liability. Non-compliance by one third-party vendor exposes all downstream parties. A compliant hospital cannot legally accept data from a non-compliant source without inheriting that risk.
So the board's fiduciary duty extends to verifying the compliance of every single third party they connect to.
And failure to do so is a governance failure.
Wow.
To synthesize the most critical conclusions for you, the learner listener, this deep dive uncovered four really non-negotiable findings that have to guide your executive strategy.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, HAICI compliance is not enough. It gives you zero protection against Cures Act enforcement, which operates on a different legal basis and leads directly to cumulative penalties.
Got it.
Second, the penalty structure targets revenue, not just your cash reserves. The Cures Act is designed to create a permanent competitive disadvantage by mandating Medicare reimbursement cuts of up to 25%, and that compounds annually.
It's meant to cripple you.
It is. Third, criminal prosecution is real and severe. Executive CEO, CTO face serious imprisonment. Up to 20 years for DOJ violations and 10 for Cures or HIPAA malicious intent.
All under that RCO doctrine.
And fourth, no insurance exists for the fines. The most severe risk is direct, uninsured, out-of-pocket, organizational, and personal exposure.
So what does this all mean? We started with the complexity of all this regulation, and we're ending with a really unambiguous economic argument.
Mm-hmm.
The annual compliance investment to run a robust program, you know, CISO, salaries, software, governance reviews, it's estimated to be around $200,000 to $800,000 for a large system.
A lot of money, but.
But it's a tiny fraction of the potential exposure from a single audit finding. That can easily reach $25 million plus in fines and penalties, not to mention the criminal exposure we just outlined.
The math is very clear.
The math is clear, and the sources stress this point above all others. The question facing every executive in healthcare today is not whether you can afford compliance. It's whether you can afford not to comply. Because the cost of failure, it's the cost of your organization's existence.